open to Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read it in just a moment. Let me preface it with this. I thank God again for the day that Sue and I walked through the doors of this church and began to hear the teaching ministry of Pastor Dave Roberson, who not only taught us the benefit of spending long hours praying in other tongues so that you could release that teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit as He prayed the mysteries of God through you, not only the meaning of God's Word, but also His calling on your life, His plan for your life. But I also thank God that He taught us how to meditate the Word in whole images. And then that even progressed to what He calls assimilation of the Word, and that's where you, on purpose, began reading every book in the New Testament, especially a minimum of 30 times. Not at that moment necessarily trying to glean revelation knowledge, although that's fine if it comes. But mainly through that process, you are equipping your spirit for day and night meditation of the Word. You've got it on the inside of you. It doesn't mean you have it memorized, but you've got. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit, if you do that, He'll begin drawing up passages out of one book that helps explain a difficult passage you're having a problem with in another book. And the combination of those two things, praying in the Holy Ghost and learning how to truly meditate the Word of God, has delivered us from so much false doctrine. And I'm sure that we're still in the process of being delivered from false doctrine. Dave says to me all the time, he says, don't stop praying the mysteries and don't stop meditating the Word. There's still a lot of things that we don't understand yet. And the proof of that is in the fact we're not, if that wasn't the case, we'd already be in revival, because God's not withholding that from us. He's getting there. He's pouring through us everything that He can. Well, the reason I'm bringing that all up is these first three verses in Colossians 3, verses 1, 2, and 3, if you just lift them out of their setting, and it's okay, it's not like it's totally wrong, you can go a certain direction. Let me show you what I mean. If you, then, be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And we'll just stop right there. Well, first off, verse 3, for you are dead. I remember years ago, what in the world does that mean? You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And through these years of praying the mysteries, those of you that walk through Ephesians, especially with us, we saw how God, He took the Jew and the Gentile, and out of those two groups, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, from those two groups, He made one new man. Do you remember that teaching? And really, the day that Christ died, He didn't die for His own sins, obviously. He didn't have any sins. He died in the place of Adam. And in God's mind, legally, when Christ died, He died as a substitute for the whole species of Adam, past, present, and future. And that whole species died. And that's what it means. You're not a normal human anymore. You're not a child of Adam anymore. If you've been born again, you have been born from the spiritual loins of the second man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ Himself. And as far as this world is concerned, you are dead. You're not a child of Adam anymore. You're really not. Trying to bring that point home, I've used illustrations over the years, like, okay, a message like today, right now, at this point, we ought to lock the doors, close the windows, because these messages are for aliens only. See, and that strikes your mind a little different, but it's really absolutely gospel truth. You are not a child of this world. Your body is from the dust. Now, someday we're going to get new bodies. Right now, you still have one from the earth. But you yourself, the spiritual you, the real person that you are, is not a child of Adam. You are a child of the living God. Your citizenship is in heaven. And that's why it says here, set your affection on things above. Now, that word affection is The Greek word phroneo, phroneo, the literal meaning is to exercise the mind. So let's read it that way. To exercise your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What is your mind occupied with most of the time? I'd like to say, I would like, some days, let's say it that way, some days, Sunday, and because Sue and I are in full-time ministry, more of our time is set on things above, because we're constantly dealing with people and where they are with God and their walk with God and that type of thing. But still yet, if I'm not careful, you know, I mean, have you noticed your car doesn't care that you're a spiritual creature? It'll strand you right smack on the middle of the, you know, right on the way home from work. A flat tire goes, child of God, I don't care, I'm going flat anyway. Then you've got to set your mind on that. Now, yes, sir. Got to be real careful here. See, now right here, it's easy to jump into a message on how Satan steals your life. We may get into that a little bit. Because you read those three verses by themselves and what it says. See, I've counseled people that have actually thrown that verse in my face because they won't pay their child support. I'll just tell you right now, it's a real difficult thing for Gary to walk in love towards men who don't pay their child support. I have to have all the help of God not to smack them hard. And especially if they've got a website. Anyway. Just let's just tell it plain. You don't pay you got child support. You've been legally even if you weren't legally, you should be supporting your child anyway. But you know, if you're in a position where you're legally supposed to be paying your child support, I'll be honest with you. I don't care. I don't want to hear any of your opinions about God. I'm not interested in a word you have to say. There's something seriously wrong in your walk with Jesus. Jesus cares about your child. You may care about your ministry. Y'all are dismissed. I can tell this is... I thought I was going to get to be nice today. Well... See, these three verses, though, now it is easy. It's easy to take those out of context and teach a decent message. It wouldn't be totally wrong to go from here to Mark 4. See, you're not supposed to spend your whole life thinking about things that are on the earth. So we could go to Mark 4 right here and say, well, how does Satan steal your life? Well, y'all have read Mark chapter 4. The sower sows the word. Let's say it a little differently. You came to the prayer center and prayed enough to know you've got a calling. You've got a calling. This is right along with what Mark was teaching this morning. I've got a calling. Maybe you found out a glimpse of what it is. Maybe you know the category, but you don't know the precise details yet. And the fire is lit. You know you're supposed to be a teacher, or you're going to someday pastor, or you're going to someday work with children, or you're going to be a music minister or worship leader or whatever it is. And you've got a glimpse of it, but you don't have the fullness of it yet. Okay. The preciseness of it. Well, Satan's job is to beat you out of that while you're still a sapling and long before that ministry in you becomes a mighty oak tree. So what does he use? He tells you plainly. Persecutions, afflictions, cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things, all of those entering, they choke the word that it becomes what? Unfruitful. You never will. If Satan has his way, he's going to get you so busy with, let's just take just cares of this world. You know, especially, it doesn't matter what age, I guess. I think of Kyle and Aaron a lot because, you know, Aaron's our daughter, Kyle's our I always hate to say son-in-law. He's the son I never had. He really is. And, you know, he works hard. He's got a, you know, wife and two children support, and they're, you know, and they're just, they're, you know, I mean, there's so many commendable things. But see, even in that, you got to be careful. I warn him, Kyle, one day, you're 29, one day you're going to wake up, look in the mirror, and you're going to go, Gary? Not that we'll physically resemble, but he's going to be 63 one day. See, and if you become the hamster on the wheel, it's amazing now how the days will fly by and the weeks and the years will fly by, and one day you wake up and go, I was called to do what? Now see, right on the other hand, then you got to be careful the pendulum doesn't swing the other way. And now you get so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I have very little patience with Holy Ghost followers, married men, who don't provide for their families and who don't provide for their children. Where is the balance? See? But now, I said it'd be easy to get off into that message. But you know that's not even what this is talking about. That's not what those three verses are even talking about. What are they talking about? I'll tell you, for a love offering of $19.95. Well, let's back up and find out. Isn't that what Dave says? You don't have to back up very far. Let's find out what he is talking about. Now, you got to remember, the great problem in Paul's day religion-wise, he would come and he would preach the true gospel and get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He would establish churches. Now, he never did come to Colossae. Colossae was not one that he himself pioneered. In fact, when he wrote this letter, he mentions that he's never seen their faces. But still yet, somebody did. Somebody came and preached Christ and got these people born again. But then what would happen, what we call the Judaizers would come in, and these were people, they wouldn't just flat out say Jesus is not the Messiah like they do today. But they would come in and they'd say, well, okay, we're not denying Christ, but to be complete, to be, I don't know any other way, to be complete, to be mature, to grow up, to be the fullness, then they would start telling them you've got to be circumcised. And other things. You've got to keep the Sabbath. You've got to start doing all of these things from the law. That was the big problem in Paul's day. Today it's a little different, but not that much different. Denomination that's big in the United States, a lot of their churches right here in our town, they're in every town. They'll tell you, yeah, Christ, you got to be, yep, Jesus, he's the Messiah, all right. You got to believe in him. But they'll say, but if you're not water baptized, if you're not baptized in water, you can't go to heaven. That's very little different from saying you got to be circumcised. They mean well. So did the Judaizers. And they're wrong. Completely wrong. It's Christ and. Anything you add to and to Christ is wrong when it comes to salvation. And Paul is really talking about that very thing here, warning the disciples, the church at Colossae, about the Judaizers that were coming in that day and preaching something different than the pure gospel. So let's back up here to verse 6 of chapter 2. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up, notice, in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Say abounding. Abounding therein. Our days should be abounding therein with thanksgiving. I don't care what's going on the earth in your day. All through the day. I don't care what happened. I don't care the troubles that's going on. If you're heavenly minded, if you are walking aware that you are a citizen from another world, that you're on a temporary assignment here, your day will be filled abounding with thanksgiving. In some ways, Sue and I are fortunate that we were such heinous sinners when we got saved. What I mean by that, no one had, you know, some people, I've read about people, I can't think of her name, but I've read about people who their big problem getting saved was they thought they were already righteous. Well, I'm already such a good person. I lead such a clean life. What do you mean I need a Savior? Sue and I'll be honest with you, Sue, we can't relate with that at all. We knew we were hellbound. We knew we were big sinners, okay? That was not an issue. But in a way, that's a benefit, though, because I know Him and Him alone. Not rules, not regulations, not what I've done or what I haven't done. I have a Savior. And it's Him and Him alone is why I'm going to heaven. That's it. I don't have any righteousness. I have nothing to offer but the blood of Jesus. And that's after I've been a Christian for 30 years and I still have nothing to offer but the blood of Jesus. That doesn't mean I won't get a reward if I obey Him. I will. He said I would. But that's not what it's about. It's a life of thanksgiving. It's a life of Jesus. Paul asked exactly the right thing. The first thing he said after he was blinded and knocked off his horse, Lord, what will you have me do? That's life. That's your life after you're a Christian. That's your whole life. And if he says to you, remember when he said that, now he told Peter, you're going to live to be an old man and you're going to die a martyr's death. And Peter goes, what about John? And basically he says, well, if it's my will that John lives until I return, what's that to you, Peter? Peter? Gary? Sue? You? You follow me. And that's really what this chapter is about. But it's leading up to verse 1 of chapter 3 there. Let's keep going now. Because he says, I'll read verse 7 again. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, be careful, be on guard, be alert. Something is out to get you. Okay? Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain or empty deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ Himself, see. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in Him. Does this remind you? Hold your place. Back up to Philippians. Just for a moment. Paul, in chapter 3 of that letter, gave all of his pedigree. You know, Israelite, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, and so on and so on. But he comes down here and he says, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. A person. A person, not a religion. A person to know Him. And for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and notice and be found in Him. Not in Adam. In Him. Not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Not having his own righteousness which is of the law, but that is the very thing that the Judaizers were coming back and telling the people. You're not complete until you keep the law. But it's one or the other. What Paul says, the only thing that matters is to be found in Him, and if you're in Him, you're already complete. He is your. Now, that doesn't mean you're fully mature. It doesn't mean you understand everything. It doesn't mean there's not room for growth. But righteousness-wise, You have been saved. You are sealed. You are in the Beloved. You are complete in Him, you messed up little outfit. I remind him all the time, you knew I was a mess when you saved me. Not that he needs reminding. I need reminding that he remembers. Well, let's keep going here. You are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, what he's drawing there, these people have been getting preached to, you've got to be circumcised in your flesh. And he says, what matters is, have you been circumcised in your spirit? If you've been born again, that old man has been cut away from you. You're not that same old creature just forgiven now. You're a new creature in Christ. That sin nature that forced you to sin before, you don't even have it anymore. But walking by faith, knowledge of that fact is what makes you walk different from the world. Religion will tell you you're just that same old creature just forgiven now. That, what a lie. That's an absolute gospel of the devil. Preached from most pulpits every Sunday in America. You are a child of the living God. You are born of God's own spirit. You are righteousness to the core. Now your soul is a land to be possessed. Have you noticed there'll be fortified cities there? There may be the sons of Anak. Maybe some giants in the land, but guess what? They can still be brought down by smooth stone of revelation knowledge. You know, slung from the brooks of waters that pour forth from praying in other tongues. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Well, verse 12. You've already been buried with Him. See, over here he says you're dead. We're not only dead, you've been buried. Buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. What did Ephesians say? We have been quickened together with Him. Raised up together with Him. And seated in heavenly places in Him. Same thing happened to Him as happened to you in your spirit. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He, it says it here again, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, and at the same time blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. You could write in the margin, the law. Blotted it out right there. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Now some translations will say, your sins right there. That He nailed your sins to the cross. That's okay. That's not what verse 14 is talking about. That's what verse 13 was talking about. He's already forgiven you all sins. You see that, all trespasses in verse 13? No, the ordinances that were against you, that was the law. And He nailed that rascal to the cross too, because the law was only given to the species of Adam. You can say the seed of Abraham, who was also descended from Adam. A client nation to demonstrate to the whole world. See, God has concluded the whole world under sin, that He may have mercy on all. Through Jesus Christ. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath. Days is in italics. It's not in there. Of the Sabbath. There's billboards you can... driving from here to Dayton, Ohio. I don't know if they're here today. They were here a year ago when we went. Billboards every so often that it's put up by the Seventh-day Adventist. I'll tell you who... It tells you on the billboard who it's by. If they're proud of it, I guess I can talk about it. And it plainly says the mark of the beast is attending church on Sunday. And if you attend church on Sunday, you're going to hell. It's 2,000 years later, and there's still that level of deception amongst good-hearted, well-intended people that are probably on their way to heaven themselves. This is why I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for learning how to meditate the Word in whole images. I thank God for the message of assimilation, where you don't have to fall for that. There's whole... Anyway. Let no man judge you, even of the Sabbath. Time out. I don't know. We did a conference earlier this year at Jim Martin's church, and he taught on the Sabbath one day and how Christ is our Sabbath and how, you know, it's the end of all works. That's why Christ, everything points to Christ as the Sabbath. He is the Sabbath because on the Sabbath you cease from your own works like God did His. Well, Jesus finished the work and there's nothing for you to add to it. Jesus is your Sabbath. He taught on it much more eloquently than that if you've ever sat in a Jim Martin meeting. By the time he gets through with you on any subject, you'll not only have every verse in the New Testament, any reference to the Old, you'll have that, and any historical facts at the time. By the time he's done with you, you just go, that's the truth. I surrender. That's it. That's what it means right there. And he did that very thing. And at the end of it, this guy couldn't wait to get up there and rebuke him for coming against the Sabbath. The day of the Sabbath, like that's it, you know, like Jesus didn't make any difference. We're on this side of the cross. Scary. This is the warning of chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 3. This kind of thing. Keep it in the context. What he's really warning you about is following religion, false religion all your life, rather than following Jesus. See, I could care, well, I care a little. I do like to be liked. Okay? I care a little. When I went over to South Korea, they're big over there. Now, not Jin-ho and Sunae, but most of the pastors and all that, they are so big on, you better have some PhDs behind your name. They want to know where you graduated and what is your pedigree. So I got approached by some of them, you know. And I told them, I said, my teacher is the Holy Ghost, and I've been trained in his school. That's it. Let the works speak for themselves, you know. And, they didn't like that at all, see. But see, the odds are if you grow up over there and want to be a minister, you'll never, what they're going to do, you're going to spend a big part of your life developing the PhDs behind your name. Just because that's kind of what's required. I'm telling you right now, Jesus tells you. See, I believe Jesus absolutely told Jim Martin to do that. He says God told him to do it, and it has opened doors for him to minister where he couldn't get in otherwise. You see? It's one thing if Jesus tells you to do it. What the warning is here, don't spend your life doing stuff religion tells you to do that Jesus didn't tell you to do. That's the warning. Let's keep on so you'll see it even better. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, what to eat or drink. Ruthie was here the other day. She would tell you this, has told it before. Ruthie from Ireland. First time she ever... Now she grew up in a church over in Ireland. One of the things they taught, they were still teaching Christians had to keep the dietary laws of Moses. You know, so she was still doing that. Come over here. Just so happened the first service she ever heard in this church, I happened to do it during a conference. And she said, in 1 hour, I destroyed 20 years of doctrine. Because that particular day, I happened to be talking about how all meats have been declared clean and we can eat everything and how went through all that whole deal, you know. Now, see, right away, Sue knew that, you know, if you can't eat strawberries, that can't be from God. It's obvious to Sue, you know. Strawberries are from God. But now, in our generation, someone that we love and admire, and you know, she's still going through that, getting delivered, and I've been, hey, don't think about Ruthie. The question is, what stuff are we still getting delivered of? We ate at a restaurant this time, and she said, that's the first shrimp I ever ate in my life. Under the old dietary laws, for you don't know, shrimp are unclean. Can't eat them. How many of you are glad you live in the New Testament? Shrimp on the Barbie. Glory to God. I like it any way you fix it. Fried, boiled. A little lemon pepper. Glory to God. Good. Had some last night, as a matter of fact. Hallelujah. Vain religion is what this is talking about. Why, since you're a creature from another world, are we letting preachers teach us doctrines that were never designed for new creatures? They were designed, if you really want to know the truth of it, you know when Dave gives that example of his wolf that he named Cain? I don't know how many of you ever saw it. I saw Cain one time. He stood flat-footed in the kitchen and was eating off a plate on the counter. His head was like, had jaws on him, you know. He's like 97% wolf or something. Big. But he loved Dave. Dave loved him. I've seen them play, man. But he's still a wolf. And, you know, Dave loved Cain and they had a relationship. But I love how Dave tells it. Maybe embellishing just a little. But he'd come out in the morning to see his wolf named Cain, and Cain would have chicken feathers and cat hair all around his mouth. You know, Cain, have you been eating the neighbor's chickens and cats? Cain would go, no. Feathers flying. He loved Cain, but Cain had a different nature. He had the nature of a wolf. So Dave said it broke his heart, but he had to put, in order to continue to have any kind of relationship with Cain, because of Cain's nature, he had to put Cain under the law. He had to put him on a chain to restrain his actions. That's exactly what God had to do with the sons of Adam. In the Old Testament, he had to restrain that sin nature with a chain called the law. But that same law was never given to new creatures, never given to your species. It is given in a way, but it's not given on the outside, it's given in your heart. And it's really called the law of love, which we'll look at here in a minute, time permitting. I want to finish. I want to get all the way down here. I want you to see what this is really talking about in Colossians. So he says, verse 16 again, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon. Now, what he's alluding to there are the Jewish festivals. All of those, the trumpets and the booths, and I don't know what all those things are. A lot of people really spend a lot of time on that. Those are all types and shadows. They all have to do with Christ. How many of you know Christ has come? Why aren't you celebrating this particular Jewish festival? Well, I celebrate all Jewish festivals every day because I worship Christ. And all the types and shadows are of Him, and I am complete in Him. I celebrate every day. I don't have to wait till that day. I celebrate every day. See? Verse 17, he tells you all of those things are a shadow of things to come, but the body who we are is of Christ. We are literally His body on the earth. He has no hands to lay on the sick but yours. He has no, can I say, wallet to give to the poor but yours. He has no mouth to preach or prophesy except the body of Christ. Ours. He has no physical body on the earth but His people. And that's all that really matters. Yes, sir. At the end of the day, when it's about time to go to bed, wouldn't this be a silly discussion for me to have with my body? Now, body, did you keep all, let's just pick some rules. I don't know. Did you celebrate a holy day today? And my body says, no, I just obeyed what the brain told me to do. See, the body, its real job, my body, your physical body, what is its job? Isn't it supposed to obey you? Not a list of rules and regulations from somebody else. Isn't it supposed to obey you? This passage is about don't spend your life getting caught up in dead religion. The only thing that really matters is, did you obey Him? Did you love Him? Did you worship Him? Did you talk to Him today? Did you listen to Him today? He is the head. You are complete in Him. Yes, sir. It's not my job really to choose the examples. So here we go. I've told this before, but this would be a good time. Did you hear about the lady who was planning a big wedding? Y'all ever hear any women like that? They have a show called Bridezilla. Oh, my God. Anyway. I mean, women, boy, they get really serious about their wedding and all the details of it. I mean, even down to the little napkins and who's going to sit where. And I mean, every little detail. Well, then this one lady was like that, and she hired, this guy was famous for his cooking, and everybody loved everything. So she hired him to do all the food preparation and his staff for her wedding. And she told him what she wanted. She wanted roast beef. She wanted carrots and potatoes. And she wanted chocolate cake. I'm just making something up. But that's what she wanted. And she was looking forward to it. He said, yes, I will do that. And so the wedding day came. And the wedding went perfectly, just like she wanted. And everybody came to the reception for the meal. And you know, everybody loved the meal. Afterwards, everybody was raving about how great the meal was. The trouble of it wasn't roast beef. It wasn't carrots. He served fish with rice and soup. Now, afterwards, when she's meeting with the guy, he's saying, aren't you pleased with how everything went? Everybody was so happy with the meal. Everybody was pleased with what I served. But she only had one question for him. Couldn't you have just served what I asked you to do? I wanted you to do what I asked you to do. The warning here, don't spend your life doing things in the name of religion or doing things devised by your own mind that did not originate in the mind of Christ. The only thing that really matters, did you hear Him and did you obey Him? Because your life is hid with Him in God, see? I don't want to spend my life going, look at all the things I did for you, Jesus. Look at this, and look at this program I started, and look how good that went, and look at all the good work we've done. Now, He won't totally throw that out. I mean, He says you can't even give a cup of cold water in His name and lose your reward. But I don't want to have Him ask the same question that lady asked the caterer. Well, Gary, yeah, that was nice. Yeah, people got helped. Yeah, people got blessed. But I only have one question for you. Couldn't you have done what I called you to do? Why didn't you do what I called you to do? Used to, I could have said, well, I didn't go, it's because I wasn't going to a church where they taught me how to hear you. But if you go to this church very long, you become very accountable. I have to be, notice how careful I am when I say accountable. Because when I used to do it, somebody sincerely asked me, why are you telling the people they're cannibals? My accent, I'd go, you're a cannibal. You know, I was saying accountable, but it sounded to him like a cannibal. You are accountable. See, I know how to hear Him, and so do you. But see, hearing Him is, that's only the first half of the equation. You got to have that. You got to be able to hear Him. The second part, I think, is harder than the first part. And again, I'm going to give Mark Jenkins credit for this. Now, in the future, see, once I really digest that sirloin steak, it becomes bone of my bone. Anyway, this morning he used an example of a key blank. Yeah, everyone's had a key made before. You go to Lowe's or a hardware store, and they start with a key blank, and you know that it's got a general purpose. That thing is supposed to unlock something, but in that key blank form, it won't unlock anything. So you take in a copy. I thought this was so good. You take in a master key. The teaching is, who is the master? Jesus is the master. All right. You take in a master key, and I said, I would like for this one to look just like that one. So the person takes that blank from you, and what do they put it in? It's a grinder. I was thinking as I heard him teach, now no grinding for the present seems joyous. Doesn't that fit right in with the chastening of the Lord? No. But see, Jesus, and as I was thinking, I went just a little bit further, I think, because he was talking about each key is really made to open a particular lock, not every lock. So I was thinking, you know, in Tulsa, if everything's like it should be, there's only two sets of keys that fit my front door. Mine and Sue's, hopefully. Now think about this. You have we were just counseling and talking with other minister friends of ours yesterday, and Sue brought out again, you know, God's not in the cookie cutter ministry business. Pastor, 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 evangelist, evangelist. You know, and all of them are supposed to operate the same. Here's the church, here's the steeple, here's all the people. You know. He's anything but that. I mean, two snowflakes, not even two snowflakes are identical. Think about it. No two leaves, no two fingerprints. He is the God of absolute uniqueness. So if that analogy, let's go one step further. See, what's happening when we're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're in the grinder, all right. You're the pot, you're the clay on the wheel, however, what analogy you want to work, but he's got a lock somewhere that represents your ministry, and Gary can't do your ministry. He's not molding me into that image. He's not grinding me to be a key that'll unlock that one. He's got a ministry for me that he's shaping me for. And if you don't do it, well, I don't know. Someone might say, well, it might not get done. Well, or he may have to look for another. I don't know. But I take that analogy all the way and I go, each ministry is unique, different. Well, I don't want to come against. I have great respect for anybody who gives their life to serve Jesus. I really honestly do. At any point, if they're going to give their life preaching the gospel or running orphanages or doing anything that God tells them to do, I mean, at all, I am for that. So I hesitate saying what I'm about to say. But most ministries are so organized, they've organized the Holy Ghost completely out of it. Most of them I know, well, you can't go overseas until you build a support group. You got to go door to door or amongst all your friends and get them to pledge so much a month, and until you get 1,500, 2,000, 20, whatever it is, I don't know. Until you get that, you can't go. I don't find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible. He just says, go. You know? That's why me and Jimmy Miller are going to start that Bible college one of these days. And the title, I tell you, God, you said what? Like that time we were at Sid Roth down there and we were going to be on TV to something like 16 million viewers, something roughly like that. And at the end of it, they said, we always offer, you know, because everybody else sells their stuff, you know. And in those days, we didn't know of any. Well, I found out later Andrew Womack wasn't, but he was the only one. I didn't even know about him then. And so at the end of this 30-minute program, they're usually going, well, we all usually offer a couple of tapes for sale, you know. I said, well, we don't sell any tapes, but I'll give you two of them you can offer. And this lady, she got real quiet, talking on the phone. She said, now, Reverend Carpenter, that gets your attention right away. Are you really ready to offer two cassette tapes for free to a viewing audience of 16 million people? You should have heard my soul. You should have heard my mind. No, I'm not ready to do that. Are you crazy? Do you think I just fell off the watermelon truck? What's wrong with you? You've got to be out of your mind to even think such a thing like that. What? We can't hardly pay our rent. That's called the unrenewed portion of the soul. That's called thinking on earthly things. That's called thinking like a son of Adam. That's called, thank God I've been trained just enough to listen. And I'm listening with my spirit. And I heard him and with fear and trembling. But I tried to do it with such power. My father says he can afford it. Click! Scared. I went and told, you never believe what I just did. Anyway. God came through for us. And you know, if all 16 million had asked, somehow he'd have done it. See, that's the thing. When you obey him, provision is in his court. See, when you obey him, provision is in his court, not yours. Every step of the way. But if you get out there on your own plan in his name, you can just finance your own plan. Thank you very much. So I'm not against people that, I mean, if they're giving their life for Christ, I don't want to say anything. I mean, it's better than not going at all, I guess. See? But I don't see in God's plan you build a support base and then go obey Jesus. And if you don't build it, you can't go. Back to this chapter. We're going to try and get to the end of it. Verse 17. All of those things in the Old Testament, all the law, all of its types and shadows. They're a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, and notice this, worshiping of angels. Let's just stop right there again for a minute. I can take you to websites today where you can learn the name of your own personal angel. I'm serious. How many of you, I mean, they're teaching doctrines now like a, there's different angels for different things, you know. Well, there's an angel of prosperity. One of them even found out her name. Her name is Emma. Dave says she's just an imitator. It's a devil imitating an angel. I've never seen so much worshiping of angels and all this. It's New Age stuff, unbiblical stuff, getting you into, for crying out loud, God did not turn you over to an angel to be your teacher. He said, I will send you the Spirit of Truth. God, the Holy Ghost, is your teacher. He is your mentor. You don't need to get online and have no chats with no angels. They're not angels anyway. They're demons masquerading as angels. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Plain English. Not all those things you see are visions from God. I've had visions from God. I've had visions not from God. How do you know the difference? The Spirit and the Word agree. If there's not chapter and verse, and I want two or three witnesses, and at least one of them from the Old Testament and one from the New. Or I just write that vision off. Following things, that's what he's talking about. Intruding into those things he hasn't seen. Puffed up by his fleshly mind. Didn't come from the Spirit of God at all. And notice verse 19. And not holding the head. Who's that? Jesus Christ, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances such as touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship. In other words, kind of looks okay on the outside. And humility and neglecting of the body, but they're not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. They don't really do any good long term. In that context, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. He's not talking about your daily job. He's not talking about your broke down car. He's talking about don't get involved with religion things on the earth. Water baptisms would be a good one in our day. Keeping the Sabbath, meaning Saturday, would be another one in our day. How to dress, how to... Listen, I've seen... too much. You got to remember, I'm Bapticostal now. I was on my dad's side, I was raised Southern Baptist, you know, and they played canasta and had Friday night boxing on the TV. Okay? All the other farmers came to my grandpa's house because he had a TV on Friday night and he wanted to watch a boxing, black and white. My mom's side of the family is holiness Pentecostal. They're the shouting kind, the kind you call the holy rollers. Love God, sing in tongues, hair up in a bun, no makeup, no electricity in the house. No cards, no canasta, none of them damnable dominoes, nothing. I grew up in both camps. I watched them both. And you know what? They're all in heaven. Because what really mattered, they loved God. And they knew that Jesus was their Savior. And I'd watch them. They had all kinds of faults. But boy, you let a neighbor get in trouble and they're the ones over there bringing the food, bringing the shirt off their back, doing anything they could. Why? It's the love of Christ that's on the inside, and that's what matters. We're following Him, not a religion. Following Him. Don't get caught up in the do's and the don'ts and the touch nots and the taste nots. Are you loving Him today? Have you talked to Him today? Have you heard from Him today? And are you obeying Him today? That's the only thing that really matters. He loves you. You're in. Hallelujah. Let's get on with His life and His ministry through the church. Let's be light to the world. That's what the world is looking for. Love and life. In Christ. The world's had enough of religion. So have I. Had enough of it. Does that mean you don't pray? You got to be kidding. The Holy Ghost, He said, is the one that He sent that brings me His mind. As I spend time praying and in His Word, finding out His death. The thing I'm most excited about, I mean, I get excited about our grandkids. I enjoy all of that, but the most thing I'm most excited about, what's the next thing He's going to tell Sue and I to do? I'm looking for the next thing more than anything else. Lord, what's next? What would you have me do? What would you have me do, Lord? What's your calling on my life? What are we going to do, Jesus? That's what matters. One more passage. That would have been a good place to end, but I was hearing He's not quite done. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for just a minute. See, I had all kinds of verses here and He kind of took it in a different direction. You know, I've been in Hebrews 12 a lot. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race." Did you hear that? Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Well, what He sets before Gary is not the same as what He sets before Mark, and what He sets before Mark is not the same as what He sets before Bob. He's got an individual calling. He's not a cookie cutter God. You're a key He's fashioning to fit a lock, not every lock. You got that? I love that analogy. That's really good. But now notice in 1 Corinthians 9, Paul's talking about his race. Starting in verse 24, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race," they all run. You know, but at the end, only one's going to receive the prize. So He's telling us, run that you may obtain. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now look up here at me. What's he's talking about shadow boxing. You know, somebody, I'm not going to spend my whole life just shadow boxing and never landing a punch on the enemy. I'm just shadow boxing. I'm boxing. Look at me box. See, I'm keeping the Sabbath. I'm giving my tithe. I'm not tasting no strawberries. I may have not eaten no shrimp. See me shadow boxing? See me shadow boxing? Aren't I doing good? And the enemy, you're not landing a blow anywhere. You're not landing a blow anywhere. You're just shadow boxing. Spending your life in vain religion. That doesn't accomplish anything. But I keep under my body. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I wish I had another hour right now. We'll do it another time. In the context, I challenge you to read all of chapter 9 leading up to that passage. Because you know what he's been talking about? The reason why he chose not to require the church to give offerings to his ministry. His flesh cried out at times. No doubt. When you do it for years and years and years and the money's never there, really. I mean, it's just always, we made it another day, made it another month. That gets old after a while. You want the end to it. But if you'll read what leads up to that verse right there, what he's been talking about is, now, I have authority. I'm an apostle. I have a right. I could require offerings from you. God's commanded it, actually. But I made a decision. Because he saw what was going on with the false apostles that were going around and making merchandise of the sheep. And in order to make a distinction between them and him so the sheep could tell that he was after them and not their money, he made a decision. I'm not going to require any offerings at all. I'm making this. I'm going to make every dollar with my own hand. Now, a few people gave anyway. The Philippians did. Corinthians did. A few people did. But what he's really talking about here, he's saying, I have been sent on a mission. My assignment is to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. And if this helps me accomplish that, then I'm going to keep under the needs of the body, the desire to have more. I'm going to keep it under. I am going to finish the race that Jesus assigned to me. Whether they give, whether they don't give, I am going to finish the race that Jesus assigned to me. Let us be. Let that same mind be in us. Let that same mind be in us. Find out what lock he is fabricating you for. And then let him finish the work till you fit the lock. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not stopping there. No, I'm stopping here. Isn't that good stuff? Religion will have you. Well, and really you could combine it with Mark 4. Religion and just life will keep you shadow boxing your whole life. You can have a nice life of shadow boxing. Never land a blow on the enemy. Not really. But if we let the Holy Ghost get a hold of us, we're not going to be shadow boxing. I mean, with every blow, we're going to hit the enemy where it hurts. Make a difference with our life for the kingdom. I am really quitting. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we're following you. Jesus, you're our master. We're not in a religion. You saved us. You bought us with your own precious blood. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And Jesus, our life is about loving you, worshiping you, serving you, and let your life be manifest in this earth. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Bring us into the fullness of what you have for us. Let your name be glorified in the earth. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen.